And you listen to radio station WUSB, Stony Brook, New York. It's 6 o'clock, time for Off the Wall. Okay, you know what? We just don't have time. We just don't have time this week. There's so many things we have to get into that we can't play the whole theme. No, sorry, not even a second of it. No. It's, no more. No more theme. We're done for today. We just have so much material to get through that we're going to have to try and cut everything short so that we can get through it all. A lot of material. We need more time. Or less material, either one of those. We have listeners, and yeah, it would be a whole lot less complicated if we had less of those, I know. But we do have listeners. There's nothing we can do to avoid that. And they send us things occasionally, and sometimes we share what they send us. Sometimes we don't, and I'm sorry about that, but, you know, if I could talk twice as fast as I normally do, maybe I could share more. This week, some listeners... Actually, they have sent us stuff over the past several weeks, but this week we're going to actually play some of it. And one of these pieces is sort of a mix. This doesn't happen very often, where I hear my own voice inside somebody else's song, but that's what happened in this particular case. And I'd like to play this, and thanks again to... Well, I guess they want to be referred to, or he wants to be referred to, as the Canto Initiative. They sent us this particular track, and it's called Vox Eclest, which I'm sure I'm pronouncing wrong. And if you listen to this show on a regular basis, you might recognize part of our New Year's Eve show from Amsterdam, which took place last New Year's Eve from Amsterdam. And it goes for about 6 minutes. And then we have something else after that, and then we have something else more, even, after that. But for now, this is the Canto Initiative on Off the Wall.
And the program is Off the Wall, and I'm sitting here with you. This time coming to you from the streets of Amsterdam. What thoughts come to mind seeing something like this?
Well, I think I can safely say I've never seen anything like this. Never seen anything.
Okay, and that is a special mix done by the Canto Initiative called Vox Eclest. And in case I'm really mangling that, it's spelled V-O-X space E-C-L-E-S-T-E. And again, thanks so much for sending that in to us. And we're going to torture gents with those words, I think I can safely say. I've never seen anything like this. Oh, yes. That comes from the recording that we made in Amsterdam on December 31st, 2005. It's really weird to hear your voice in a song being repeated over and over again, just like a real song. And if you have any particular mixes of Off the Wall or anything else that we've done, please feel free to send them on in. Our email address is otw@2600.com. And if you want to mail us something, I suppose you could mail it to Off the Wall, care of 2600. And that's P.O. Box 752, Middle Island, New York, 11953. That way it'll get to us a lot faster than if you go through the State University address, which has to go through several levels of bureaucracy before it actually filters down. We have another listener submission, but first I want to give out the phone number because we are still in the midst of our fundraising drive. In fact, next week we have a very special edition of the program. Amy Goodman will be on live, and we'll be talking about all sorts of world events. So mark that on your calendars. It's going to be interesting and fascinating and provocative and all that kind of thing. But for now, we would like you to call the radio station and show your support. In this particular case, show your support by either writing a check or by giving us the magical numbers on one of your credit cards and telling us how much you would like us to take from it. Yeah, it sounds crude, but that's in fact how it works. That's how this radio station stays on the air. And that helps make other bits of artwork as the one you just heard possible. Yeah, inspiration leads to all sorts of other things, some of which are amazing, some of which are terrible, but all of which should be taken seriously because, well, that's what it's all about. That's how it works. And so many people are involved here at this particular radio station that I think it's influenced many, many thousands of people around the world. And if you're one of those people that gets even the slightest degree of enjoyment, please give a call, 632-WUSB. Let me give you the area code since a lot of you are out of the area code. 631 is the area code, 632-WUSB. And for those of you who don't have letters on your phones, that's 9872. Those of you who don't want to drop a quarter into the phone or don't have access to something that allows you to make phone calls, 1-800-394-9872. 1-800-394-WUSB. For those of you overseas, other parts of the world who can't call 800 numbers, country code 1-631-632-9872. What do we have? We have all kinds of WUSB paraphernalia, all of which I believe is legal. We have t-shirts, we have sweatshirts, we have compact discs of various sorts. We have little baseball caps and coffee mugs, which also can be used as tea mugs. And one person, I think, even used it for hot chocolate, I'm told. There's other things, too. There's all sorts of things, far too numerous. If I started listing them, that would be it for the show. I would just be listing things for the rest of the show. And that wouldn't be that much fun. Best that you give a call to 631-632-9872. And for those of you who are listening to this in the future, when it's after the time that this particular radio program is on the air live, which, can you believe it? Somebody didn't change the clock in this place. We went to daylight savings time this past weekend, and the clock I'm looking at in front of me is one of two in my entire life that I've seen, my entire life this weekend, that is, that did not automatically go back. It's an analog clock. You know, one of those ones, how do you describe it to someone who's never seen one? It's round, and it's got numbers going around in a circle. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, and it's hands, one long hand, one short hand, and actually another hand that moves fast, which I believe is the second hand. And that's an alternate way of telling time, rather than just reading the numbers in front of you. Those clocks are very old, and they don't know to turn forward or backward at a particular time of the year. So a person has to climb up on something and take the thing off the wall and reach into the back and do something to make it go forward. And that person hasn't done that. That person has not done that. So maybe there isn't a person to do that. I don't know. Maybe this clock is always on standard time. But in any event, it's 6:14 here, Eastern Daylight Time. And if you're listening to this program and it's not that time, or it's not close to that time, if you're listening on the internet, there is still a way that you can pledge and have your pledge show up as part of Off the Wall. That's by going to our website, WUSB.FM. Pretty cool, huh? WUSB.FM, and following the instructions for pledging online, and simply fill out the little form. Somebody will contact you to get the secret information from you, which is your credit card information. We don't advise you to email that information to us, as that is not secure, but somebody will contact you. And unless you have somebody, you know, plugging into your phone lines and hanging off a telephone pole or something like that, that's generally a more secure way of passing that kind of information back and forth. But we'd like to see the phone lines light up now, because there are people in there who are wasting their time doing absolutely nothing right now. And we'd like for them to have some purpose. 631-632-9872. Even one phone, see, what the power of one person. One person has the power to do all sorts of things here, whether it's creating a song, or making a phone call, or writing a letter. Yeah, that's how it works here. Or just doing radio yourself. That's the whole spirit of community radio. 631-632-9872. I'd like to get into another listener contribution, and this one is really interesting, because this came to us in the form of a cassette, and I was actually pretty blown away by this. I'll read you the letter that came along with this particular piece. Hi guys, I thought you might be interested in this. It's a very poor quality tape of a song that came to me in my sleep. Yeah, how often does that happen? Well, poor quality tapes happen all the time, but a song coming to you in your sleep, that's pretty cool. I've had that happen, but I never remember it after I wake up. It's always the best song in the world, but I can't recreate it after I wake up. Anyway, this listener writes in, continues, I thought the message might be important. I am not a singer, songwriter, or guitar player. Could have fooled me. This was made on a $20 recorder and a cheap nylon string guitar. Maybe if you like it, you can get it played on a couple of college stations. If you think it's junk, well, thanks anyway for listening to it. You can just trash it if you do not think it's worth listening to. Well, why don't you guys make up your mind there and let us know. Meanwhile, take a listen to this song that was made on a crappy $20 recorder with a cheap nylon string guitar by a guy who is not a singer, songwriter, or guitar player on a very poor quality tape.
Say hello to my mother, tell her I'm doing fine. And Daddy, I miss you most all of the time. And tell all my brothers that I'm coming back. I ain't gonna die in a place called Iraq. The days they are hot and the nights they are long. We don't even know if we're right or we're wrong. And tell all the big shots to bring us all back. We don't want to die in a place called Iraq. Say hello to my mother, tell her I'm doing fine. And Daddy, I miss you most all of the time. And tell all my brothers that I'm coming back. I ain't gonna die in a place called Iraq. The people all hate us, they don't understand. American soldiers have taken their land. Young Billy was killed in another attack. Another good kid who's not coming back. Say hello to my mother, tell her I'm doing fine. And Daddy, I miss you most all of the time. And tell all my brothers I'm coming back. I ain't gonna die in a place called Iraq. Billy was a baby, only 19 years old, brought up to believe what the government told. Told when to sleep and when to attack, but nobody told him he wouldn't come back. Say hello to my mother, tell her I'm doing fine. And Daddy, I miss you most all of the time. And tell all my brothers I'm coming back. I ain't gonna die in a place called Iraq. And tell all the people who care, who march in the streets cause they give a damn. Every day that goes by there's a chance I might die. And I don't want my mother to cry. Say hello to my mother, tell her I'm doing fine. And Daddy, I miss you most all of the time. And tell all my brothers that I'm coming back. I ain't gonna die in a place called Iraq. I ain't gonna die in a place called Iraq.
Okay, that's beautiful, I think. And I love the turning the tape off before the guitar finishes part of it. Just it's so low tech. It's amazing, but it's an incredible song. That comes from Bill Rainey, right here in South Setauket, actually right next door to Stony Brook, South Setauket, and one of our listeners who sent that in. And you know, Bill, I don't know when you sent that in, to be honest. I found it in a pile of mail, and it's possible it might have been there for a few months, but I'm sorry about that. Certainly is a great song, and came to you in your sleep. You need to sleep more. You really do. You need to really sack out and get some more great ideas for songs. And for me, that's something that's very, very haunting. I've heard that refrain in my head many, many times after listening to this only a couple of times. So great work, great work. And just proof of our listeners' talent. There are people out there that are just simply incredible who are in the listening area. And we thank all the contributions that our listeners have provided to us over the years, whether it be calling in with their thoughts, sending us their particular pieces of music, coming in doing radio themselves, and of course, not least of all, supporting the radio station and keeping it going. We need that phone to start ringing, 631-632-9872. If this program means anything to you, if it has meant anything to you over the years. And we've been on since, 2003? Talked about a lot of things, seen a lot of changes in the world, and no doubt we will be seeing a lot of changes in the time to come. So if you're going to stick it out for the duration, please give a call to 631-632-9872. Again, toll-free number, 1-800-394-WUSB, 1-800-394-9872. All sorts of neat things for you to obtain as our way of saying thanks for calling and supporting us. Whatever it is you can afford, we have all sorts of different levels. We have the 90.1 Club, I believe, which $90.10. You get all sorts of amazing things. But it also goes all the way down to, I think, $25 or less even, if you're on a budget. We take Visa, we take MasterCard, we take American Express, we take Discover, we take all sorts of things. Or if you prefer, we'll simply send you a little reminder in the mail. 631-632-9872. Nothing would make me happier than to see that phone ringing while I start talking about what's going on in the world, which is a big part of this radio program. Okay, the phone is ringing. I could not be happier. This is it. This is as happy as I get. Can you feel it? Can you feel the positive aura coming out of my voice, I guess? Would another phone call make me twice as happy? I don't know. It's an unknown. If that were to happen, and any person out there has the power to make it happen. I don't mean just make the phone ring. I mean make the phone ring, pick it up, and have a conversation with the person on the other end that involves you telling us how much you'd like to donate to the radio station. Look at that. I do feel something. I feel something. Yeah. It's a three-letter word beginning with joy. That's it. Oh, my goodness. I haven't felt this since the Jimmy Carter days. And it wasn't because of him, either. It was because of something else. Three calls. All right, now I'm just starting to get scared because I don't know. I feel like I'm dreaming now, but I'm not writing down the song. It's a really good song, too, but I got to write it down or I'm going to forget it when I wake up. Three. We have the capacity for five, you know. I know. I'm dreaming within a dream, but still, I don't know what would happen if more phone lines rang. I think I might start babbling incoherently, more so than normal. But three calls on the line, and they're staying on the line, and they're talking to people in there. In fact, I think there's only three people in there, so it would be an interesting challenge if more phone lines rang. The number is 631-632-9872. You see the power of the listeners? They can drive us mad. They can make us extremely happy and bubble over with all sorts of forgotten emotions. That's an incredible power. Use that power, but use it wisely. Okay, there's a fourth person there now, so we do have room for another phone call to come in. And I'm just saying, if anybody's out there and they're hesitating, you don't have to. You can make that phone ring, and someone else will dive on. Do we have four phones? Yeah, I think we do. Okay, but I am going to get into what's going on in the world today, because there's all sorts of things going on in the world. More protests in France, in Paris mostly. More than a million demonstrators. It's amazing to me how different things are in other parts of the world, where over a million people can march in the street 2 weeks in a row to protest a jobs program, whereas we're going around, our kids are dying in a foreign country for no good reason. We have this horrible regime in place. We're losing our civil rights faster than people are losing their hair. That's the best I could do in a moment's notice. And we can't muster up more than a couple of thousand people every few months. And when you do muster them up, they're basically chanting the same old tired slogans and alienating everybody around them because they're closed-minded too, and they don't want to accept people outside their own little community. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. I think it's Americanitis or something. There is some disease that keeps us from actually accomplishing change. I guess we believe it's impossible, so we might as well just bicker as much as we possibly can and tell ourselves that we're actually accomplishing something by doing that. But look to the French. Look to what they do. Well, maybe we shouldn't look to them too much, because they also tend to have a riot after the demonstration. This happens every single time. It's really incredible. They had a million people in the streets today, and they're trying to kill the new labor law that basically allows employers to more easily hire and fire young first-time workers. I guess they're focusing mostly on the firing part. Protesters were in the streets in actually 150 French cities for a fifth day of action. And according to the leaders of the union CGT, the turnout was more than 3 million French Interior Ministry said it was only 1 million. But, you know, once it gets to a million, it's kind of hard to really count. But the situation has actually changed. French President Jacques Chirac has signed the proposal into law, but has asked the French Parliament to amend it to soften its effects. So they're reacting in some ways. It's not enough for the people that are marching, obviously, but they are reacting, which shows you that it does make a difference when you show up en masse. Maybe that's why it's called en masse, because the French perfected it. Must be. So what usually happens after these demonstrations is that some hooligans stick around and start hurling all sorts of things at the cops. And it's really incredible that nobody gets seriously hurt in these things. They throw Molotov cocktails, they throw fire extinguishers, stones. Of course, the cops are pretty well protected. But this just seems to be the natural course of things over there. I'm not saying that's something that we should do over here, but it's just something we should keep in mind when people react at just a demonstration and they bring out the riot cops and they start spraying people with all sorts of chemicals and implying that these are terrorists that are chanting and marching and blocking traffic. Well, look at what happens in other places, other so-called civilized countries, and they get over it. You know, these people are all friends the next day. Well, maybe they're not friends, but they're, you know, it's not a state of siege. It's not the end of the world. They have confrontation. So we need more confrontation, that's for sure. I don't know if we need more bricks and bottles and things being hurled in the air, but we do need more confrontation, more voices raised. And you know what? It would make a difference. I said if 10,000 people stuck outside the Pentagon and stayed there, inside a few months, you'd start seeing some radical changes. But I don't know. We just don't seem to have what it takes, which is sad. Is that what the Founding Fathers would have wanted for us to back down, not to be strong? I don't think so. So what else has been going on? In this country, of course, there have been demonstrations against the proposed changes in the immigration laws that make it a felony to be an illegal immigrant, which, unfortunately, the majority of the American public seems to support. Not a big majority, but I'm just surprised that a majority would be that anti-immigrant. Because, let's face it, it's very hard to immigrate into this country. Very hard. That's why there are illegal immigrants in the first place. It's not that they want to flout the law and disobey and cause all kinds of mayhem. They want to work. They want to get a job, send money home. They want to improve their living standards. The reason anybody immigrated to this country in the first place. Yeah, some people escaped religious persecution, but most of us wanted a better life, a better economic life, and America offered that. America still does offer that. And while we're eager to farm out to other countries to save a buck and pay people in those countries slave labor wages, which basically is enough for them to get by, I suppose, we don't want to play it in the other direction and allow some people from those countries to come here and live our way of life. No, that we can't have. It's very hypocritical. So, yeah, I think the borders should be a lot more open than they are. After all, none of the terrorism that we are so afraid of was caused by lax immigration. It was caused by people who are in this country legally. It wasn't caused by anybody coming in illegally. It wasn't caused by Mexicans. It wasn't caused by Canadians. Of course, I don't think they're really going after the Canadians, are they? Are they going after the Canadians? Are these new laws going to affect people who come here from Canada and overstay their welcome? Because I know a lot of Canadians who have overstayed their welcome. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to know, are we going to be doing this evenly? Probably not. House conservatives have criticized President Bush, accusing the Senate of fouling the air. And listen to this. They say prisoners, rather than illegal farm workers, should pick America's crops. They also denounced the use of Mexican flags by protesters on Thursday. It's unbelievable. Representative Dana, I always have trouble with this one, Rohrabacher, not sure where to put the emphasis, Rohrabacher of California, She's one of... She or he? Is Dana a male or a female? I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm sure I'll find out. It is one of more than a dozen Republicans who took turns condemning a Senate bill that offers an estimated 11 million illegal immigrants an opportunity for citizenship. I say let the prisoners pick the fruits. Representative Steve King of Iowa, I think he's a guy, referred to a guest worker provision in the Senate measure and said this: anybody that votes for an amnesty bill deserves to be branded with the scarlet letter A. You know, you'd need a scarlet letter A, too, and it doesn't stand for amnesty or adultery. But let's just move on. Basically, there is a lot of fear and hatred towards immigrants in this country. And it's something that we need to take a good look at, because they're the ones doing the work. They're the ones getting things done. They're doing the jobs that nobody else wants to do. Try getting your lawn cut. Try getting your house built without using people who are in this country illegally. Why is that? I don't know. The economy is all messed up. But one thing is for sure, the people coming into this country are not the problem. A lot of people in this country are the problem, but that's a whole different group. Most of them are in power. This was a great story. Did you see this in the front page of... it was on CNN. It was on a bunch of other web pages as well. 9/11 plotter eligible for death. Good news. You're eligible for death. Isn't that something? Yeah. The Al-Qaeda conspirator, Zacharias Mosari. I really should be able to pronounce his name without stumbling at this point. But, yeah, he's eligible for death, according to the jury down there in Virginia. And I don't know. I don't know if he's going to take them up on it. Or he seemed pretty upset yesterday. He was shouting, "You'll never get my blood. God curse you all." And I guess he's... For someone who's supposed to be a suicide attacker, he's not really embracing the death part very eagerly, is he? I gotta wonder about this, though. You know, this is a guy who's told all sorts of weird stories and obviously knows something. Is it very smart to silence somebody like that forever? I mean, let's say something happens in 5 years, 10 years. He's not going anywhere, for one thing. He'll never leave whatever prison he's in. But maybe in a few years, he'll meet the friendly dog from Canada that will convince him to confess his sins, and maybe he'll be born again or something. Oh, yeah, that'd be the ultimate, wouldn't it? Become a born-again Christian in jail. That's a good way to get the religious fanatics to eagerly go to the electric chair wherever it is they send them in Virginia. You just tell them, yeah, all our prisoners become born-again Christians. Let me at that gas chamber. I'm out of here. That's a good way to get them to go along willingly. Because nothing is more sacred than your religion, right? And on that subject, we have our Offend the Religious Zealots piece of the day, I guess, is the best way to phrase it. Once again, it comes from John Lennon. He just has so much material that's appropriate for this. This is something you might not have heard, though. This is from the anthology collection. And, of course, we had to do a fair bit of censoring, unfortunately. If you ever get the chance, listen to the uncensored version. But we just can't take that kind of a chance here. And again, if you're offended by this, there's probably something wrong with you. But that's just the way it goes. Again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. Please show your support for free thinking, for analysis, for listener contributions of all sorts. 631-632-9872. Here's today's religious piece from John Lennon.
Christ, he's the only one. You say you found good time. facing to the east. You say you found Krishna dancing in the seat. Well, there's something missing, Lily's got the man, it's you and it's your mother. Your mother, don't forget your mother, man. You got to save yourself, nobody's gonna do for you. You gotta save yourself, nobody gonna do for you. Well, you may be leaving devils and you may be loving laws, but you're not gonna have to save yourself, lad.
Ain't no room service here. I think you're the poor old man in the kitchen, for Christ's sake.
It's still the same old story, a bloody holy war. I fight for love and glory, ain't gonna study war no more. I fight for God and country, we're gonna set you free. I'll put you back in the stone age, if you won't be like me. Get it? You gotta save yourself, ain't nobody gonna do for you. You gotta save yourself, ain't nobody gonna do for you. Yeah, you may be leaving devils and you may be leaving laws, but Christ, you're gonna have to save yourself, and that's all there is to it. So get right back here, and it's in the bloody fridge. God, when I was a kid, didn't have stuff like this, TV fucking dinners and all that crap. You fucking kids all the fucking same. Want a fucking car now? Look, he's have a pair of shoes. Found Jesus Christ, well that's great, and he's the only one. You say he just found Buddha and he's sitting on his ass in the sun. You say he found Mohammed kneeling and on a bloody carpet facing the east. You say he found Krishna with a bald head dancing in the street. Well Christ, lie, you're going out your bleeding gear. You gotta save yourself, ain't nobody gonna do it for you. That's right, lie, you better get that straight to your fucking head. You gotta save yourself, you know that better. Who the hell else is gonna do for you? It ain't me, kid, I tell you that. Well, you may believe in Jesus, and you may believe in Marx, and you may believe in Marx and Spencer's, and you may believe in bloody Woolworths, but there's something missing in this whole bloody stew. And it's your mother! Your poor bloody mother! She what bore you in the back bedroom, full of piss and shit fucking midwives. God, you can't forget that off too quick, you know. You should have been the bloody war, lie. You'd have known all about it. Well, I'll tell you something. It's still the same old story. A holy bloody war. You know, the Pope and all that stuff. A fight for love and glory. Ain't gonna study no war, more war. I fight for God and country, the Queen, all that. We're gonna set you free, hell and Nick, not sure. Bomb you back into the fucking stone age. If you want to like me, you know, get on your knees and pray. Well, there's something missing in this God Almighty stew, and it's your goddamn mother, you dirty little git. Now get in there and wash your ears.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. John Lennon there with Serve Yourself, I believe is the name of that one. Sort of a parody of Bob Dylan, actually. And unfortunately, it had to be sliced up a bit, but I think it still got its message across. Program is off the wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for another 15 minutes or so. And we want to thank these people who have called in. And surprisingly, everybody is local. Local people. I'm great. I mean, I'm happy. I'm thrilled. But where are all you internet people? Is this the week that the internet doesn't work or something? Or are you just not out there this week? There's something else going on the internet. We'd like to hear from you as well. 631-632-9872. Country code 1 if you're calling from a foreign country. I want to thank Laurel from Corum, and Peter from Holbrook, and Chris from Stony Brook. How you doing? Thanks so much for calling in. 631-632-9872. Please show your support. Keep this radio station going. Without this radio station, you probably wouldn't be hearing this. In fact, you definitely wouldn't be hearing this. You'd probably be hearing All Things Considered or something on yet another frequency. Or maybe, no, you know what you'd be hearing? You'd be hearing religion, real religion. You wouldn't be hearing the kind of thing you just heard. You'd be hearing another religious station out there preaching whatever doctrine they feel like ramming down your throat. You don't believe me? Just tune around the dial. And if you're out of the area, you'll hear this even more. Below 92 is where non-commercial radio is supposed to be, and most of it is either national public radio, which is fine, except for the fact that they're everywhere. And if it's not them, it's probably religion of some sort, because somehow, the religious leaders of this country have managed to worm their way into the non-commercial area of the radio dial and virtually take it over. Just like they don't have to pay taxes on anything. And the other thing that really bothers me, why? Why in God's name can you not park in front of a church in New York City? Do you know how many good parking spaces we don't have because of churches? There are a lot of churches in New York City. An awful lot of churches. Some of them don't even look like churches. They just have stained glass and what looks like an apartment building. And a big no parking sign anytime. What's the big deal about parking in front of a church? Do people pour out when the service is over and they're pouring out so fast that they can't stop and make the left or right turn onto the sidewalk? They have to keep going into the street. And if there's a car there, they're going to hit it and start backing up and have this whole overcrowding effect? What is it exactly they're worried about? And if they're going to insist on making it so you can park in front of a church, how about using some brains? How about sticking the fire hydrants there then? So that way, okay, you can park in front of a fire hydrant, but the fire hydrant is in front of the church. So you're killing two birds with one stone. That doesn't work. Why not put a bus stop there? You can't park at a bus stop. Or is a bus stopping in front of a church somehow offensive to religion? If it was up to me, I'd stick all three in the same place. Fire hydrant, bus stop, church. There you go. And that way, every time a new church opens up, you get another bus stop. Who can argue with that? It's good for religion. Makes people not hate it so much. People see a tie-in between mass transit and religion. It just might have some kind of revival in this country. That's my idea. You may not agree with it. But just how I feel. All right. Again, thanks to those listeners, and thanks to the ones calling in now. 631-632-9872. I want to read a couple of things in the time we have left. First, this letter from a listener, from Anita, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Since the invasion of Iraq, it is clear that many Iraqis live with the daily threats of death or serious injury, either from our own forces or the opposing factions within that country. The Bush administration feels this loss of security is acceptable in order to gain the so-called freedom that they now enjoy. Don't you think it's remarkably odd that the same Bush administration promotes their homeland security program by taking an opposite view, saying that our loss of freedom is acceptable in order to gain security? Sounds to me like Bush's Ministry of Propaganda haven't thought this one through. Well, Anita, thank you for thinking that one through and saying it far better than I ever could, because that's exactly it. You hit the nail on the head. And some feedback to last week's commentary on the horrible shooting in Seattle. The Last Off the Wall show, you said that a lot of violence is the result of gun ownership and that we don't need all the weapons that are available to us. It's our right to own guns, big guns and lots of guns. I think you kind of missed the point there. To advocate against gun ownership, which I didn't do, because it somehow seduces someone to commit acts of violence is not much different than saying owning a magazine / book about circumventing security mechanisms will seduce someone into breaking the law. In all honesty, I think if people were dying as a result of reading 2600, maybe I'd have some second thoughts about it. But I don't see a parallel there, I'm sorry. I disagree with you on the same principles that you argued that raves are not the reason that teenagers are using drugs and that they can use drugs anywhere. It would be just as easy for someone to kill six individuals with a car or homemade bomb than it would be with a gun, especially if the perpetrator is going to commit suicide. Right, someone could have driven a car into that house and killed six people. Give me a break. If any politician said it has to do with a sickness and a way of thinking that we need to move away from, you would call it Orwellian. I don't think I would have. But show me a politician that says that. I'll tell you what I think of them. That letter was unsigned. This one is from Zaffer of Rochester. Hello, Emmanuel. First, I'd like to say I love listening to your shows and have been for several years. I also attended Hope 5. It was called The Fifth Hope. Spend a lot of time making the names up for these conferences. People call it H2K4 and Hope 5. No, the fifth Hope and the next one. I shouldn't even tell you. You should know. Hope number 6. And please be there. July 21, 22, 23, New York City. www.hope.net. Coordinating meeting this Friday at Citigroup. Anyway, I was listening to the archived March 28th show and thought I would send you an email about the incident of the Washington man shooting up a rave after party. I heard about this incident in a firearms forum that I frequently visit and can say that everyone there felt the same way you did, anger and frustration towards this individual for taking the lives of others. Incidents such as these have been going on for years and will continue to go on. I did, however, want to answer your question as to why people should be able to own such firearms. I won't go into the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution rhetoric because people have different views on that matter, and you've probably heard it several times already. Thank you. The main reason why people own such weapons is for personal defense. People who don't live in cities often live a fair distance away from police and have long response times. There are many instances where a firearm may be your only choice between life and death. I know several families, including my own, who own firearms in their homes. Fortunately, we have never had to use these firearms to defend ourselves, but we prefer the option of doing so. I don't understand. What's going on in this country? Are we being invaded by opposing families or something? Who are these people you're defending yourself against? Why must we do this? It just seems bizarre. Like we're living on the wild, wild west and the frontier. Got to defend ourselves against our fellow man. It just, for a country that supposedly is at peace, I don't understand all this offense and defense strategy that's going on. Anyway, if this individual did not have these weapons, do you really think it would have stopped him? Yeah, I think it might have. I think it's awfully hard to kill 6 people as quickly as he did unless you have that kind of weaponry. I don't think you're ever going to get around that. Unless he blew up the whole house, okay, yeah. Unless he set some explosives and blew the whole thing up. No, there's no way he could have done anything that fast without guns. Anyway, this reader doubts it. He would have simply found some other form of weapon and used that instead of a firearm. I'd love to know your thoughts on this. What kind of weapon would have accomplished this? I mean, people use knives, yeah, but you know, you can't stab a whole lot of people with a knife. And you have to get kind of close. It's easier to avoid. Anyway, the main point I'm trying to get at is that people are going to do stupid and illogical things no matter what you do. There are numerous ways for one person to kill another, and trying to take away every object that someone can use to do so is unrealistic. If you ban firearms, people will just use knives. If you ban knives, people will use cars. I personally think that the weapons used in this incident are superficial. The real problem is the individual who committed this atrocity. I enjoy going to raves and find it strange that such people were targeted in this incident. Thanks for spending the time to read this. I look forward to your upcoming shows. Thanks, Zaffer, for writing in. But I really think that you have to take a good look as to why people have such weapons in the first place. They're not for hunting. They're not for self-defense. They're for mowing down a large number of people in a relatively short amount of time. No other reason. No other reason. You don't need bullets that can pierce police vests to hunt deer. I'm sorry, you don't need them. What I'm asking people to do is take a good look at yourselves and ask why. Why are you doing this to yourselves, to your fellow people, to society? It's really bizarre. I'd like to actually read a letter from a friend of mine, a post actually, a friend who lives out in Seattle, and actually was affected by this personally. And this comes off an online forum. Last Saturday morning, I woke up and checked my email. While I was online, my friend Mr. Primate sent me a news link. Evidently, a house party after a zombie rave, as the Seattle Times put it, had gone terribly wrong, and 6 people were killed by a deranged gunman. I didn't know what a zombie rave was, and there weren't any names of the victims, so I didn't think much of it. After all, terrible acts of random gun violence are relatively commonplace. The only thing that was unusual was that it happened in Seattle, a place that is relatively free of violent crime. My roommate asked for a ride to downtown Seattle and offered me gas money, so I drove him there. I remember it was a brilliant, beautiful day, so I decided to stay in Seattle. After enjoying the sunshine for a while, I hopped on the internet, plugged in my laptop, and visited a Northwest Techno site to see whether anyone had posted about the incident. And as last Saturday was the end of spring break, and on Friday night there were over a dozen parties, I figured that it probably involved out-of-town college students. After all, the Seattle electronic music community is a really peaceful crowd. As I read on, I was horrified. The zombie rave that the Seattle Times was talking about was actually a happy hardcore show at the Capitol Hill Arts Center. At least two of my friends had tried to convince me to attend the show, which I had refused to do because I'm frankly too old for that type of music. After the after-party where the shooting happened was at a very familiar blue house. My friend Jeremy lived there. I started calling friends I knew who had been to the party. Peachy was fine, Deacon didn't call back, Jeremy didn't call back, and eventually Hannah called me back. "Could I ask you the slightest favor?" she asked. "My car is legally a crime scene, surrounded by police tape. Can you give me a ride back to Olympia?" When I got to the house where Hannah was waiting with friends, I hugged her, holding on tight to make sure she was really there. On the way home, she told me that two of my friends had been killed. She was near the back door, so managed to run away before she was shot. We went out for dinner, and I don't even remember what I ate, only that I was completely in shock. I drove home and cried. I cried in the shower the next morning. My friends Jeremy and DJ Deacon had been murdered in cold blood. The killer shot himself, so I'll never know why. Two of the smartest, wittiest, and most creative members of the Seattle electronic music community were killed in an instant by a random act of gun violence. As the reality sank in, I could only cry even more. I drove to Canada. Guns are, for the most part, illegal there. It was the only place I felt safe. I visited my friend Shadow, who kindly rolled me a joint of mind-numbingly strong BC Bud. I'm not normally a fan of Canadian marijuana. It's a bit too lethargic for my taste, but its sedating quality fit the bill nicely. After I sobered up, I boarded a ferry for Vancouver Island. I drove west until the road ended in Tofino. There was nothing in Tofino except endless stretches of coastline, migrating gray whales, eagles, and the bottle of very fine scotch I picked up at the duty-free store on the way north. It was exactly what I needed to begin healing my soul. At 3:30 a.m. yesterday, I returned home. It was a rough day at work. My boss told me to take the rest of the week off. I left town barely acknowledging in my mind that I had a job, and they might be upset if I just disappeared. Fortunately, my boss is very understanding and forgiving. It's strange how your perspective changes when one of your friends is murdered in the very same place where you've sat before, in a house full of your friends. I went to the blue house on the hill with a can of Off and a box of granola bars. Jeremy loved to camp, and wherever he is now, he'll need supplies. It really amazed me how wonderful the neighbors are. The lady across the street came by with hot chocolate. Evidently, Wednesday was the last night we were allowed to pay our respects. The police are taking away the memorial and will be requiring everyone to leave. It was hard, but I'm glad I went. It's always interesting how the worlds of people intersect. Jeremy knew everyone from motorcycle gangsters to punk rockers to wine connoisseurs, and they have all been over the past several days, leaving something to remember him by. None of the families will need to buy flowers. There are easily 1,000. Today was DJ Deacon's funeral. I was a little worried that his church community would be less than entirely welcoming to the electronic music scene. Instead, I was blown away by how kind they were. They welcomed us with open arms and included us in nearly every aspect of the service. I thought I'd cry the entire service. Instead, I ended up smiling and remembering Deacon, mischief, and good times. I am still sad. A terrible thing has happened, and it will take time for the empty hole in my heart to heal, but this helped a lot. It was great to see everyone there, decked out and irreverent as ever. Deacon touched so many of us in so many different ways. It really blew my mind to see it. I remember him for his sharp and acerbic wit and his offbeat sense of humor. And yes, for his difficulty balancing his love for the music and the scene with his weakness for drugs and alcohol. I am glad that this aspect of his humanity was acknowledged. Too often people are lionized after their death, and I feel like we remembered him, warts and all, as well it should be. It's been a rough week. It's probably strange that I'm pouring my heart out to people I haven't met on the internet, but I spend so much time in this forum that you're almost as much of my extended family as the Seattle rave scene. I sincerely hope none of this ever happens to any of you. And that's from T. Prophet. Thanks so much for writing that. I think it helped a lot of people and opened up quite a few eyes. Well, hopefully I've given you something to think about. Something else to think about in reading some of the forums after that horrible tragedy. You know, people in the community, in the electronic music community, have been raising funds to help the victims, and they're actually raising funds to help the family of the shooter. I think that tells you something about the kind of people that were the victims here. We're out of time. I want to thank everybody for calling in and showing support. Again, the number 631-632-9872. And we'll be back again next week's special show with Amy Goodman. Take care.
If you didn't care, what happened to me? And I didn't care. For you, we would zigzag away through the boredom and pain, occasionally glancing up through the rain, wondering which of the buggers to blame. And watching for pigs on the wing, safe to bury my bone. And any fool knows a dog needs a home. A shelter from pigs on the wing.